Our next guest is one of the most prominent intellectuals in France, but his new book is about America. It's called The Empire and the Five Kings, America's Abdication and the Fate of the World. The Five Kings are other powers: Russia, China, Turkey, Iran, and Sunni Arabs. Bernard-Henri Lévy joins us now from Paris. Welcome to Here and Now. And you start this book by focusing on the Kurds, U.S. allies, that you say the U.S. has abandoned, that the U.S. is stepping back from its leadership role in the world.
It's more than stepping back. It's a betrayal. The Kurds were our best allies in the area. They were our boots on the ground. They were a living rampart of flesh and blood against barbarity, preventing terrorisms. And when the job was finished, we told them, go to hell. The behavior of President Trump when he decided to withdraw from Kurdistan, from Syria, and from the Iraqi Kurdistan was just disgusting. It's a moral failure, and it is a political mistake.
And why do you think it happened?
It happened because America now reasons only on short term. There is no strategical aim. This is the thesis of my book. For example, in the relationship with the Chinese, what I demonstrate in the book is not that Mr. Trump does not act. Of course he acts. He tries to make a deal, as he says. But on one side, you have people, the Chinese, who are thinking on centuries. The Chinese have a long, long-range way of thinking. America thinks, I don't know, next month, next quarterly, at the maximum next year in these negotiations about tariff and so on and so on. Regarding the Russian, it is the same. Putin has a strategy, Trump has a tactic. Erdogan has a strategy, which is to rebuild the Ottoman Empire. We have a tactic, which is to crush down his currency. And so on. The Iranians, Iran. Mr. Trump pretends that Iran is the worst enemy, the most dangerous for America and for the West. But when the occasion arises, he delivers on a silver plate to the mullah of Iran what they want most.
Which is what?
Which is Damascus and Baghdad, which is the Shia arc. Of course, we have the sanctions, but they have Baghdad and they have Damascus and they have the strong alliance with Putin. So we are in a situation when our leader of the free world, Donald Trump, plays muscles, but the real strength is on the side, alas, 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 of the Five Kings: Chinese, Arabs, Iranians, Ottomans, Turks, and Russians.
Well, you say to that point that the United States is a power, but one that never entirely sought its empire's glory. It is an empire, if you will, but a recalcitrant one whose nobility has always been to balk at imperialism. Why do you think that is, that the United States holds the title, basically, of empire, but it never really wanted to be that way?
America has been an empire in very precise circumstances when there was only you to save Europe from suicide in 1914, when there was only you to defeat Nazism in 1942-43-4, when there was only you to defeat communism, which was another fascism, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and from time to time to spread democracy and to crush the third fascism, which is the Islamist one. What I love in America is that generally this imperialism is rather uninterested. It is not imperialism in order to stay or to occupy your territory and so on and so on. But now we are facing something new, which is no empire at all. The only empire of America is the empire of Mr. Zuckerberg. in the empire of the Facebook and Twitter and the social networks and so on. But this is not serious. And this does not change anything in the concrete life of all those who all over the world consider America as the shining city upon the hill.
So you're joining us from Paris today, and I wonder whether you think that Europe has dropped the ball. Why can't European nations step up in the way that you would like America to right now?
Sometimes Europe did that. For example, in Libya, it was President Sarkozy who took the lead, and President Obama exerted the leadership from behind. Why not? Europe is lazy. Europe was accustomed to the American security umbrella, and it will take time for Europe to take its responsibility. The metaphor I use in my book is the metaphor of Aeneas, the hero of Virgil, the man who goes from Troy to Europe. Now, Aeneas went from Europe to America 2 centuries ago to build America. Maybe today Aeneas has to go back to Europe, but it will take time. Do you know, I speak about Aeneas, does one of your listeners know why there is 3 quotes of Virgil on a banknote of $1? First of all,
right.
Do they know why? If they don't know, I will come back at the mic, I will tell the story.
I want to ask you about your criticism in this book of both President Obama and President Trump. Starting with President Obama, you criticize him for drawing a red line with Bashar al-Assad in Syria over the use of chemical weapons in 2013, but then not acting. Why was that such a turning point for you?
Because America is a special country. Because America has the belief that it is exceptional. Barack Obama this day did break provisionally, forever, I don't know, with this exceptionalism. He said at the end of the day, okay, America is just another country. We have no special responsibility. Because what he did this day was to say to Bashar al-Assad, the worst butcher today on earth, he told him, beware, my dear friend, if you cross the red line of the use of chemical weapons, you will be punished. Then Bashar al-Assad crossed the line, and what happened? Mr. Obama went to make a little tour in the garden of the White House, and at the end of the tour, he said, nothing will happen. This, for America, was a loss of credibility, which I never saw, and it was maybe, I hope not, but it might be a U-turn in the deep metaphysical vocation of this great country, which is America.
Now, when it comes to President Trump, you write that no matter how often the 45th president of the United States expresses his love for Israel, reasserts his solidarity with its prime minister, and reminds us that his grandson is a Jew, he will always be a bad swineherd who reveres only power, money, and glitz and could not care less about the miracles, the call to study and intelligence that are the proper genius of Judaism.
My dear, I tell you... two or three very evident things. Number one, he should leave alone his Jewish grandsons. Okay? Number two, there is a quote in Hebrew. There is not only proofs of love. There is a deep love which is called Ahavat Israel. You can make gestures toward the Jewish people, like the embassy and so on, if it is not based on a deep love, of a deep understanding of what Israel means, these gestures are zero. Number three, the strength of the Jews in America, which is weakened, by the way, these days by Mrs. Ilhan Omar and all the move around her and so on. There is something happening. The strength of the Jews stands on the fact that they were always very wisely bipartisan. There is something in this embracement of the Jews of America by President Trump that looks like a kiss of death. I hope I'm wrong. Not death, because the Jews are undiable. But I don't like this kiss, because the Jewish people has survived because of its knowledge, because of its taste for study. And all this ethics of the Jews is 101% opposed to the style which Trump and his entourage embody. And if we do any compromise with this nihilist style, I think we Jews, you American Jews, make a very dangerous mistake.
That is Bernard-Henri Lévy, a philosopher, a filmmaker, and author. His new book is called The Empire and the Five Kings, America's Abdication and the Fate of the World. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we've got an excerpt from the book at hereandnow.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Lots to discuss.